God be the glory. What a mighty God we serve. Did you know in this assembly of people this morning, there ain't a one of you look alike? I'm glad for that. There also ain't a one of you that think alike. As God made us individuals and looks, He also made us different thinkers. Yes. And every man is right in his own eyes. Yes. But praise God, we're not serving man this morning. We're serving a God in heaven who is able to direct our steps. He's able to guide us when we disagree. Praise the Lord. All is well. 30 against 60, all is well, praise the Lord. The power of love, the power of God. We don't see things alike. We want the Lord to bring us into the place that we see through the eyes of the shepherd, through the eyes of Jesus Christ. Let this mind be your mind. Put you on the thought process of Christ. Now, I don't know where I picked this up. Could have been Michael Smith or Rodney. They both are big on putting things on the board. But this saying says, "What was I thinking?" And I won't write it up there because that might be borrowing something that's not mine. But I will allude to it. I will bring, hopefully, a short thought message about it. Used to have this young man that worked for my sons, and he ran the shipping department. And many times somebody's... Need this on? Praise God. Son telling the dad what to do. In the house of God. It's all right. Just don't get carried away, son. Well, we thank the Lord for these modern conveniences. For us weak vessels. What was I thinking became a humorous Is this not working? But this is another one of my sons. Thank you. Working now? Okay. I got a big family. Got a lot of sons to take care of me. I'm 67 years old, but I got a lot of boys, a lot of daughters. Help me out. This young man would take a phone call from somebody's heater in Alaska in a boat, and they were freezing to death. And we had a policy that we could ship them pieces or parts for their heater, and we would do it overnight, which was very expensive. And occasionally he would get carried away, and he would ship the wrong part. And his humorous response the next day would be, "What was I thinking?" Well, he wasn't thinking right. You get the humdrum, normal, repetitious things of a day, and regardless of how important they are, if they get repetitious, you'll probably make a mistake. You need to pay attention to what you're doing continually and how you're thinking. This morning, I want you to think how you are thinking. What is your mindset? What are your thoughts? Are they the thoughts and the mindset of Christ? Or are they the thought process of Grandma Polk and Grandpa Polk? as we are vessels that God hath created in diversity. No vessel is alike, for one purpose and one reason, to glorify God. What a mighty God when He can take such a mixed up people and make such a glorious people out of them. Love, kindness, sweetness, bringing into subjection their own thought process and their own ideas, and submit to one another in brotherly love, preferring our brother above ourselves, all of the mindset of Christ as we put on the mind of Christ. Now, I want to begin in where Moses was called to be the leader, to be the mouthpiece of God, to be the spokesman, to be the one that would do things that manifested a supreme, almighty God. You'll pick up in the third chapter of Exodus, beginning with the fourth verse. Well, let's pick up at verse 2. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Would that be kind of a attention getter? Hold on to that thought. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, called his name. And Moses said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Can you get a spiritual vision of the holiness of God, the purity, the righteousness of God? Scripture tells us that the pure in heart shall see God. So keep your heart with all diligence. Thank you, son. Keep your heart all diligence. Out of it are the issues of life. Draw not nigh unto a holy God with your shoes on. This morning we're going to liken those shoes to your own thought process, your own ideas, your own protection. What are shoes for? Nike makes shoes. Gallen Camp makes shoes. Brother Marty's got some shoes. We all have shoes for to protect our feet from what we might step on. Well, I want to tell you this morning, when you come into the presence of God, you don't have to worry about stepping on anything that will hurt you. There isn't anything that will injure you. There is nothing but goodness in God Jehovah. He is holy, He is righteous, He is pure. That's why when we come before Him, when we go into our closet and shut the door, we want to just empty out our thought process, take our shoes of protection off for Stevie, and ask God, what is the mind of Christ? How should I respond? What should I do? Where should I go? How should I dress? Glory to God, He has the answer every time, and He has promised by His Holy Spirit to reveal it into whosoever will. Freely come and drink of the water. The water of knowledge, the water of understanding. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light. Everything you need, take your shoes off. Take your shoes off and enter into the presence of God. For in the presence of God, there is holiness. There is holiness. There isn't any place for you to protect yourself. Praise the Lord. No, just let God have the protection. He'll take care of you on the job, in school, or wherever it might be, your final destination. Just trust the Lord. Trust God. Take your shoes off and enter into His presence. Oh, it's so sweet to hear God say your name. Come. Come unto me. Come and I will take care of you. I will feed you. I will clothe you. I will pour out a blessing upon you that you cannot contain. How many in our assembly this morning have ever been blessed so hard you couldn't hardly take it? You ever been driving down the street and have the presence of the Lord come down? Oh, we've heard many testimony. We've heard many stories how God in diverse vessels that we didn't think like at all, but still God knew how they were thinking, and God was able to penetrate to their very heart, their core, their soul, and see an honest heart, see an honest and a pure heart before Him, a needy heart, and lower His presence. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. All the glory of the Lord, the preciousness as He reveals Himself, as He reveals His truth, as He reveals His righteousness. There's no place for us to stand in God's presence with our shoes of righteousness of our own. There's no place to stand in our own ability. There's no place to stand in the way we think. Praise God. Let this be your meditation. Let this be your thought. Delight thyself in His Word. Delight thyself in His truth. Proverbs says, there's a way that seems right into my thinking. There's a way that seems right to your thinking. But at the end of it, is what? Chaos, death, destruction. Psalms, the 23rd chapter and the 8th verse, David wrote one of the most blessed promises that we have in this life, from the cradle to the grave. Regardless of our background, regardless of who we are, regardless of where we come from, I will guide you with mine eye. I will guide you with what I see. The girls sang about the shepherd's view. Oh, praise God. I'm glad I don't have to look out and do all this guiding. I have confidence in the Spirit of the Lord. I have confidence in God, in His searching eye, that He's able to detect the pitfalls. He's able to detect when I'm thinking wrong, when I'm thinking maybe this is all right and maybe I'll do that, and He knows there's a snake coiled underneath it. Praise God, His eye sees. Let me guide you with my eyes. You know what it takes? Scripture goes on down and says in the 51st chapter and the 17th verse, a broken and a contrite spirit. The other verse says, the humble shall see this and be glad. There are things that are behind the veil of humility. Now, Jesus rent the veil in the temple. But there is a veil of the innermost holy of holies. And the only way to get past that veil is to humble ourselves and take off our own shoes. And say, God, can I come in? Just as I am, I'm coming in, Lord. Would you teach me your way? Would you show me? Would you keep an eye out for me? You ever told your children to watch out for the other children? You keep an eye on them. Well, God of heaven, individually. Everyone in this tabernacle this morning, you have an eye watching out for you. And you know what his desire is? He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's not in the business of destroying. He's in the business of saving. And you know that sometimes it takes that eye a whole lifetime. Because of the way that some people are molded and bent from their birth, the way that they think, it's a lifelong fight. But the victory is in keeping the faith in the eye of God, and that He has His eye on you. Now, I'm going to be as quick as I can, but I want to back this up with Bible. The 8th chapter of Deuteronomy. Turn and read with me. This is God talking to His children. Beginning at verse 1, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do, that ye may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And ye shall remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee 40 years in the wilderness, for this purpose, to humble you, to prove you, and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And this is what the all-seeing eye did for such a rebellious nation, for such a rebellious people. And he humbled thee, and he suffered thee to hunger, and then he fed you. Fed you with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did your fathers know, that he might make thee to know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Now, we all know what bread is. It sustains us. We're hungry. It reignites us. Nourishment feeds our body. And God, I think often of what dear old Brother Vader used to say, Vader McMillan, he said, God has it all fixed up just right. We could not improve on the plan of God. We cannot add to it and make it better. Folks, the way of the Lord is perfect this morning. There is perfection in 2012 of how the eye of the Lord is watching over and caring for His people. The need that we have is to possess the Holy Spirit to reveal every word that cometh out of the mouth of God. Don't want just a mind that understands the bread. Yes, God has given us a lot of bread. We're alive this morning. He provides for even the sparrow, Jesus said. So the bread is there. The bread is in place. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. Jesus is in place. And we covet to know the mind of Christ. And that's good. But there is a deeper inner veil for those that will humble themselves unto God in completeness of thought process, in completeness of heart, in completeness of way, in completeness as to my heritage, who I am and what I am, that we would be able to surrender ourselves to the place that God can make us a vessel of honor, a vessel of the glory of the essence of God. The praise of men is worth what it is. It's men. But how much more coveted and how much more sweeted and how much more eternal it is to have the glory of God dwelling in this temple, in this flesh, having the glory of God come down out of heaven, having the glory of God that when people look upon us, they don't see our heritage, they don't see our thoughts, they don't see our natural makeup, but they see the glory of God. The glory of God, that's what Jesus died for. That's what he paid for. We don't have to sell ourselves short just because I was born this way, praise God. No, we can bring it to the King and he can cleanse us and purify us to the point that we can have the very essence of the Spirit of God come down and dwell with us. Jesus worked with the children of Israel, God did rather, and he many times they rebelled, they did many things, he tried them, he led them. Oh, I think of what Jesus accomplished. Romans, the 8th chapter now. I want you to remember one thing. Remember, it's important what you're thinking. Because your thoughts enter into your heart, and then your heart begins to think. And it's very hard to determine what that thought press of heart is once there has been enough meditation with this mind that it has entered into my heart. And it is only by the grace of God that the heart is revealed. Who can know the heart? I remember dear old brother Clifford Wilson used to tell us that he prayed one time, said, "Lord, I want to live for you. Would you please show me just how you see me?" And God spoke to brother Clifford and said, "You don't want to see that. You're human. You're flesh. You have your own shoes on sometimes." Oh, bless the Lord. Praise God. That we find ourselves thinking as a fleshly man, we can go into the closet and we can close the door and we can call on Almighty God. And because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we can be in tune with His Spirit. We can receive the things that we need in our daily walk to be an example, to think properly, to think righteously, to think godly, to think on lovely things. Oh, there isn't anything lovelier than the glory of God coming out of a life. I remember dear old sister Faith Embley used to give us a missionary report on Wednesday nights. She often read stories of those in foreign lands who were persecuted to the death. Persecuted in such horrific ways. In Romania, there was a lot of that back in those days. And those that would remain faithful, those that would remain true, the glory of the Lord would so condescend on that holy vessel, cleansed by the blood of Jesus, that the persecutor would see what's making that bush not burn up. I see fire. How come she isn't consumed? Because it's the glory of God. And those very persecutors would fall on their knees, call upon God. Children, brothers, sisters, we have such a calling. Make your calling and election sure. Don't think it out in yourself. Get alone with God. Get alone with some ministers of God. Whatever it takes. Touch the throne of God and tell your thinking process is endued with power from on high. In the 26th verse of this chapter, in the first part of it, it talks about dedication, what God has established. Jesus taught us that he came to destroy the old temple. You remember when Solomon dedicated the temple to the Lord? And when he was done, the presence of God condescended on that physical building in such a miraculous way that it could not be denied. There was the beauty of God condescended out of heaven with such a witness, such a presence, that all those that looked on it were scared to go in there. They didn't want that. That's God's in there. That's holy. That's righteous. That's pure. Oh, Jesus came. He said, I came to destroy the old temple, but to fulfill it, that there would be a new temple. And that temple would be the diverse looking, diverse thinking people that could be the people of God. And the same glory that come down upon the old temple comes down in 2012 at Monarch Springs. Oh, what a beautiful thing it was to sit in these services and see the glory of God condescend on the minister, on the little old lady that testified. Oh, I love to hear the testimonies of how the glory of God works in the trenches of life, where people really, someone said, where the rubber meets the road, Brother Barty. Well, the rubber meets the road in your daily living, and to be able to stand up and give God the glory that this old flesh, this old temple, this old mind that is so stubborn sometimes, God can bring in the subjection to his mind, and I can be a witness of the glory of God in 2012. I won't honk my horn back. I won't run them off the road. I'll say, God bless you and God be with you. There is a time and a place in 2012 that God's glory needs to shine in the world. They've heard enough stories. They've heard about the bread of life. They've heard those things. They want to see the glory of God and why the bush don't burn up. Why it doesn't disintegrate. Why? Because it's the glory of God. It's the glory of God at work, at school, in your home, wherever it might be. Praise God. He does have it all fixed up just right. Let me tell you, we can live this life by the grace of God, by the glory of God. Oh, we're short on time. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Is that what it says? And peace. Do you like peace? I like peace. Me and my wife have our differences. When we talk those out to there's peace, I like that a lot better. To be carnally minded would be to have a constant battle, a constant fight. Now, even the little disagreement that we had this morning, praise God, the Spirit of the Lord can bring us all to a peaceful habitation. I'm going to tell you this morning, God is still God. Now, we think what we think, and we have our ideas, and God said for us to use this old mind that he gave us, but he taught us how to use it. To be carnally minded is death. Oh, but to be spiritually minded. Well, I'm spiritually minded because I'm thinking this and that and the other. Examine yourself in the mind of Christ. What did Christ say? What did Christ do? You know, Christ was traveling with his disciples, and they came to a place where the disciples, what did they want to do? Call fire down out of heaven and destroy some people? Christ looked at them and said, no. You don't realize what spirit you're of. You don't realize, you're right, they're bad people. And they ought to be wiped out. But the spirit that you're imbibing is not of God. It's not the holy ground. It's your own ground. Oh, Lord, help us to be very, very careful. Very careful. Because there is great reward. It must believe that God is, and then we must believe that there's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, those that are very careful. Careful of our next step. Careful of where we go. Careful of the spirit which we imbibe. But if the spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are not debtors, not to the flesh, nor to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if we through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Oh, I appreciate my sons. I appreciate the love of other children letting me call them son. But when it comes to God Almighty, calling us His sons, calling us His daughters, calling us His children, calling us His peculiar people, glory to God. There is nothing like it, whereby we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. We have no fears. Our fear is caught up in this fact, that God has promised to guide me with His eye, and that I have in my spirit been imbibed with His spirit, blended with His spirit, part of His spirit, that now I am able to say, Abba, Father. All the beauty the humble shall see, the pure heart shall see, the beauty of being a child of God. We sang that song, and I noticed all the hands that were in the air. Each one was probably thinking a different thought, a different visitation. But all, it was the same God. It was the same glory. It was the glory of God that comes down in our midst and blesses the soul and blesses the heart and blesses the testimony and blesses the song. To God be the glory, whereby we cry this morning, Abba, Father. We're just your children gathered here in this old hot place. But bless God, the Spirit of the Lord is here. It's not in the cement. It's not in the wood. No, it's in you. It's in you. God Himself, I'm such a fat, ugly old guy. God in me? Yes. Not by boast of myself, but by the boast of the plan of God and the old rugged cross, that I can, as we've heard in this meeting, come to God and He'll fill me with His Spirit. Whereby I do call God this morning, Abba, Father. And I call you my brother and my sister in the Lord. You don't think like me, most of you, maybe a few. But you're still my brother and sister in the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, praise God. I'm so glad He has so many different vessels. If everyone was like you, we'd be in bad shape. If everyone was like me, you'd be in bad shape. No, he has a diversity. He has it perfectly set up. Their dear sister from Honduras, brother and sister from Juarez, Mexico. Praise God! It's everywhere. The song we sing, God is everywhere. God's glory is everywhere. Where there's a vessel that'll yield themselves to the Spirit, yield themselves to the law, yield themselves to God. Hebrews 10th chapter. Twelfth verse. Speaking of Christ. Speaking of our sacrifice. He that sacrificed himself, who knew no sin, who had no thought process of his own that he let dictate what he would do. You know, Jesus still had a mind. He had to overcome that mind in the garden. He had to overcome that mind even as he grew up, even as he lived, his own thought process. One time the devil come at him and tempted him. And those were his very words that were spoken way back when in the history of God and man. And Jesus told the devil, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Oh, it was no been no sin if he'd have made rocks into bread. But that moment, at that time, Jesus knew where that was coming from. He knew why the temptation was there. It looked good, it's been preached. Looked like it's all right. But underneath was a spirit of rebellion to the will of the Father. And so Jesus rebuked the devil three times. And many times in his life, I believe that Christ was the perfect example of bringing his own thoughts into subjection, bringing his own ideas, his own wishes, his own wants. Bible teaches us that he was a man just like we are, and he was subject to temptations just like we are. And yet, he maintained that integrity we heard about with the Father, and he did not yield. What was his reward for that? The old rugged cross. What was he to receive for being such a faithful son? Well, it was the old rugged cross. It was his life's blood, his thinking power, running down his face in blood. His enemy mocking him, triumphing over all that he had been doing and teaching. And here it come to an end. He looked out off the cross and he saw Mama, and his heart was broken. Told the disciples, take care of Mama when I'm gone. So much like my mind and your mind and our thoughts. And yet he brought them all into subjection to the mind of the Father. The Father's will. Thy Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth today as it is in heaven. We know that Jesus came out of that grave. He's at the right hand of God, making intercession for us as we endeavor to bring our thought process into subjection to the mind of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from God in our hearts. In the 10th chapter of Hebrews, verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his foot. Praise God. They're all coming down. They're all going to be brought under. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost is also a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. Oh, God has it fixed just right, children. God has it all in place. Don't you doubt it. Don't you fear 2012. Don't you fear what man comes up with or what man does. Because we have a God in heaven who has not forsaken this world. He never forsook Jesus. He brought him out of that old grave and placed him at his right hand to be the intercessor for you every time you have a thought that is not right. Every time that you need some more power. Oh, praise God. Jesus is looking on this morning. He's watching you this morning, and he has one purpose. He has one thing in mind, and that's your victory. Your victory. You're so different than I am. Jesus wants you to have your victory. And you know, when you get your victory, the glory of the Lord, the glory of the Lord is our reward. This is the covenant. Praise God for the covenant. I will put my laws in their heart. You know, if we don't enter into this covenant and we try to be religious, we're going to fail. We don't have the strength. Your mind is not strong enough. I remember one of the most wicked songs I ever heard. I believe that Mr. Frank Sinatra sang it. But it wasn't too long before he died. I've done it my way. And his song just brags about doing it my way. Regrets I have a few, but too few to mention because I've done everything my way. Oh, there's a better way. There's a true way. There is a pure way. There is God's way. Oh, may it be at the end of our days. I done it God's way. I did it God's way. I didn't try to do my own way. I submitted it. He said, I'll put my laws in their heart, and in their mind will I write them. Bless the Lord. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holies by the blood of Jesus. Enter into that temple. The veil was rent in two. By Jesus. By a new and a living way. A living way. Children, this is not a dead way. This is not just a letter and a law, but it is alive and well by the Spirit of God, by the Spirit of Christ. A new and a living way which He has consecrated for us through that veil, that is to say, His flesh, nailed all of His thought process to the cross. Took his shoes off, his only self-protection, and entered into the presence of the Holy Father. Yes, a new and a living way for this purpose, for you and for me. The Scripture says for us, and having a high priest over the house of God, what's the saying they used to say when we got a good job to come in? You got it made. You got it made this morning, children. Let us draw near with what? a true heart. Whatever you do, keep your heart true. Don't let the beggarly elements of this world distract the trueness of your worship in your heart to God. The warnings we hear from the pulpit sometimes show those places of things that if you're not careful, they'll get in your heart. And then your heart is no longer true. Oh, praise God. We're able to keep our hearts pure. We're able to keep them true by the power of God in full assurance of what you've done. That's not what he said. In full assurance of how good you've been. That's not what he said. Let us be careful here. Full assurance of faith. Faith in what? Where's your faith? When you think this morning, where is your faith? Is your faith in God? Is your faith in Christ? Is your faith in yourself? Oh Lord, every man thinketh he's right in his own mind. But we must have the mind of Christ. Oh, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful who promised. As we endeavor to secure our life, as we endeavor to enter into the Holy of Holies, we have that song in our book. My dear daddy passed away when I was a young boy, and we sang that song because it was his favorite song. He didn't always think like a lot of other people, but he had a place in his heart of worship to God. He had a place that was pure and that was true. And God worked with him in his thought process, even though sometimes it wasn't like everyone else's. When he lay in on his deathbed, he looked up, said, "Oh, the glory. Oh, the glory," were his final words. Brother Stover and Mama and those who were around his bedside said, "What is it, Tex?" You know what he said? "You wouldn't understand." Praise the Lord. There is a heaven. There is a home. There is a glory of God that this mind cannot contain. That's why I must keep the faith. That's why by faith I believe. And that's by faith I hold on to the profession that we have. Praise the Lord. In closing, let's read in 2 Chronicles. Children of God, I want to tell everyone in this tabernacle this morning, this is not above you. This is what God expects of you. All the ministry, Sunday school teachers, children of God, this is what God is calling for. Make your calling and election sure. Examine your thought process this morning. See how you're thinking. In my mind's eye, if I think the way Jesus thought, do I think the way Jesus taught? Or I know a lot more. Yeah, people get to the place they know more than Jesus in their own mind, in their own thoughts. Try to connect the dots without the Holy Spirit and you get in trouble. You get in big trouble. But oh, we don't have to do that. Jesus paid the price. Humble thyself, and the Lord will draw near thee. All he's asking for is a broken and a contrite spirit, praise God. He said, I'll never despise it. That's where I dwell. That's where I live. I live with those that have that kind of heart condition. Oh, help us, Lord, not to get caught up in how good we can think or how great our own thought process is. A child shall lead them. Don't leave much room for a mighty mind, does it? Now, when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the house. Whose house are you this morning? Whose house are you this morning? Are you the house of the Lord? In your personal walk, in your personal experience, are you this temple that Jesus said he was going to build? That Jesus died for? That Jesus paid the price for? A house that God can send his glory down and possess. Oh, there isn't anything sweeter than seeing someone that the glory of the Lord rests upon that temple. How precious it is. You know, sometimes people get pretty big ideas and emotions are strong. And I have seen... I'm 67 years old. Been in this church all my life, except for the years that I was backslidden. But I still went to church. And I'm going to tell you, I've seen some mighty good preachers. I've seen the glory of the Lord condescend on many of them. Brother Michael's grandpa used to jump and shout, land clean over there. Sometimes he was quiet and subdued. A vessel where the glory of God consumes the sacrifice and his glory comes down. Dear old brother Harlan Smith used to get off work on Friday night, and he wasn't thinking about building Brother Harlan another house. Excuse me if I get personal. Witness this. In my lifetime, I want to see the glory of God in 2012, in 2013, if God permits the world to go on. I want to see the glory of God condescend upon the temple that Jesus built. You and me. Dear old Brother Smith would work all week. Friday night he had an old truck. He'd fill it with beans. Drive all night long down to the mission field in Mexico. Now a lot of people would say, what in the world is that man thinking? What are you thinking? Compassion, love, the mind of Christ. Is not this the sacrifice that I have chosen? God speaking. To deal your heart out to the hungry, to the thirsty. Is it not to give of yourself for your brother? Is it not of you to give of yourself for others? Let brotherly love therefore continue. All the glory of the Lord would condescend. Praise the Lord. There's nothing more beautiful. And we had a dear old saint in our congregation. Never got married. I know she never had a job other than caring for other people. Would skimp on her Social Security and do without things that she could send a little offering to Brother John Varghese, others in the mission field. All the glory. was there when she passed from this world to the next. There's nothing sweeter than to witness the homecoming of a vessel, of a temple that is filled with the presence of God. There's nothing sweeter of the children don't mind. Others that I've seen and witnessed, held some even in my arms, breathed their last breath. Your last breath is coming. May it be a time when your vessel is filled with the glory of God. Not your righteousness, because that's going to die with your body. It don't go no farther. But the glory of the Lord. Oh, praise God. What did he say? These shall be mine. Malachi 3:16. Then they that fear the Lord, and spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened, and he heard it, and the book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and the thought upon his name. They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. In that day when I make up my jewels, I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Oh, to be a jewel in the eyes of God. What can I do? How can I attain that? How can I do that? In humility, in meekness, in humbling myself right here until it is evident in my heart. You know, God talked about the Israelite children, how he worked with them, and he works with a lot of different vessels in so many different ways. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. God said, he said that about us. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. His thoughts are so far above our thoughts. No wonder we ought to stop and say, what am I thinking? Go into the closet. Say, Father, give me your thoughts. Help me to think like you would want me to think. I know I have a profession. I know I don't go to the movies. I know I don't get drunk. I know I don't. Lord, help me to think like you think. I don't want my self-righteousness, Lord. I know that in that I will come short of the glory of God. I want you to glorify yourself in this temple. Oh, praise the Lord. They shall be mine. Now, I don't want to leave without picking up where Brother Marty left off the other night about Samson. Samson truly messed up. He truly marred in the hand of the potter. Getting into the fourth verse of the 18th chapter of Jeremiah. It said, and the vessel that he had made of clay was marred in his hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel. It seemeth good to the potter to make it. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, O children of God this morning, cannot I do with you as the potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hands, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. You see, God doesn't give up on this temple, on this vessel. I by the grace of God, will not fail like Samson did. And you don't have to fail. But if you have failed, the potter's waiting. I'll mold you a new vessel, praise God. Let the glory of God can condescend on. The real Spirit of the Lord can rest upon your life. You can be a witness of me wherever you go. Praise God. We have a cloud of witnesses. Been right in this very tabernacle from the time I was a young man. Witnessed many a times the glory of God come down upon a vessel of clay by the mighty plan of God. So this morning I don't want to leave you discouraged. If you feel like you've come short, remember, God can mold you again and make you a vessel unto honor. And in that day, He will say, He's mine. He's mine. May the Lord bless you this morning.